Welcome to the Whole Enchilada, a community of high achievers that fight the status quo, rebel against mediocrity, and make life happen. Let's go. Hey, Enchilada Nation, excited to be having a conversation today around something that I think is really important and very timely right now. This is a four-part series on your ability to execute. I think we've all spent a lot of time putting together our goals. We're good at outlining what those look like. In fact, we're all pretty good about getting motivated, finding our sources of motivation, whether that comes through reading or podcasts or whatever that is. We create this motivation, yet we still have this gap in our ability to execute. So over the next four episodes, we're going to be covering the four disciplines of execution, which if you've read this book, this will be a great reminder. If you have not read the book, here's the two caveats I will tell you in regards to it. One, it's the message of the book was one of the most impactful to my career in helping me execute at a much higher level. And the caveat to that is this is it's not the most fun book to read. It reads like a textbook, but the message is powerful. So excited to share with you the four disciplines of execution. Let's go. All right, everybody, we're going to talk about discipline number three in the four disciplines of execution. If you have not listened to discipline one or discipline number two, please go back to those episodes and catch up on the conversation, because today is the third discipline of execution. Discipline number one was focusing on the wildly important goal. Discipline number two was identifying, acting on the appropriate lead measures. And now discipline number three is keeping a compelling scoreboard. So I really love the idea of a scoreboard. It's a way to measure our results. I grew up in a neighborhood where there was a ton of boys, and we played a lot of sports. In fact, all summer long, the neighbors would, we didn't even matter what game we played, we'd just kind of congregate, and we'd pick the game, and we'd play. One of my neighbors ultimately put in a full court basketball court, and this back in this time, this was not done very often. So it was the cool place to be, was this full court basketball court. And to even make things better, it had the hoops that you could adjust up and down. So for us short little kids, particularly me being a pudgy little kid with a vertical leap of 1 inch, it became awesome because now I could dunk the ball. And so ultimately you can imagine what happened is now every single person that got the rebound, there was no passing, there was no ball play. It was how quickly can I get down the court and try to make my ESPN highlight dunk. And so realistically, there was not a lot of great basketball playing. There was a lot of selfish basketball being played. However, one day, my friend's dad showed up with a scorecard, a way for us to keep score of the game. So it was no longer who had the coolest dunk. It was who was winning along the way. I will tell you that instantly, the instant that scoreboard showed up, the way we played the game changed. The short little fat version of me all of a sudden became really good at blocking out and defending and also passing the ball, because the probability of somebody else making that shot was better than me. Ball movement was good. Court usage was good. We all of a sudden started to play to win based off the scoreboard, not a selfish game of who's going to have the coolest dunk in the moment, and didn't really matter if it went in or not in that instant. So the point I'm making with this is when you're keeping score and there is a scoreboard, you're going to play the game differently. And it's not just a matter of setting the goal and tucking it in a filing cabinet and just getting to work. It's doing the work and then measuring that work against the scoreboard that you set up. So let's talk a little bit about how to do the scoreboard. Number one, it doesn't work until you've done discipline number two of identifying those lead measures, because that's really what you're going to be tracking on the scoreboard, is your actual result against the goal of the lead measure, whether that's a certain number of contacts a day, a certain number of conversations. And you can add multiple things to the scoreboard of, hey, I had a goal of 20 real estate related conversations per day. How many did I get of those real estate related conversations? How many of them converted to database ads? How many of them converted to appointments? One thing I want to make sure you do is don't overcomplicate your scoreboard, because if the scoreboard becomes too complicated to track, ultimately you end up doing it and you don't have that data to react. Think about it this way too. If you go to a professional basketball game, it's not just about measuring the score at the end of the game. It's measuring the score throughout. Imagine how the crowd gets involved when there's a close game and it's going back and forth and you know where everyone's at and you know the spread between the leader and the person that's chasing them. Imagine also at halftime when they go into the locker room, they're not talking about what they're going to do after the game. The coach isn't in a separate room kind of thinking through what he wants to think about. They're absolutely looking at the lead measures and how they've performed up to this point, and they're adjusting the game plan. This is the power of the scoreboard. It's not just a quick reflection of how you're performing against what you committed to do. It gives you the ability in the moment to adjust the game plan while there's still time to adjust it to affect the wildly important goal. If I wait till December 30th at the end of the year to kind of look at where I ended up, it's too late for me to affect change. However, if I'm looking at my scoreboard daily and weekly, I can make adjustments along the way where I need to make the adjustments so that I can absolutely still win the game. It's not a lost cause at that point, as opposed to me looking at it down the road. So remember, the couple of important things with your scoreboard is it's got to be simple, it's got to be relatable to your lead measures, and it's got to be, with your lead measures, it's got to be tied directly to your wildly important goal, and it's got to be visible. It's not just something you got to go find to look at. It's got to be up on the wall, in your face, every single day. In fact, it probably should be part of your morning affirmations or your morning routine to look at that scoreboard and know what you got to do. Just like a professional sports team, you imagine your favorite football team. If they look up at the scoreboard and there's 4 minutes left of the fourth quarter and they're behind, they're putting a little bit extra energy behind that those 4 minutes, knowing what they got to accomplish. So it's got to be simple and it's got to be visible. And then you got to put your CEO hat on. The person executing on the scoreboard is probably you as a technician within your business. However, you've also got to flip over and put your CEO hat on when you're reviewing the scoreboard and say, what is it that we need to learn? What is it that we need to adjust? What systems aren't working? What scripts aren't working? How are we not converting? And this is the leader of your organization. You as the leader of your organization need to be making those adjustments based off the data on the scoreboard. So discipline number three is keeping a compelling scoreboard that is simple and visible. You refer to it often, and then you as the leader are having the coaching conversations around that scoreboard. So here we are, we've reviewed. Discipline number one is focus on the wildly important goal. Discipline number two is identify and act on those lead measures. Discipline number three is keeping a compelling scoreboard.